This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. As the presidential race tightens, political parties and civic groups are trying to get every eligible voter registered, and there are signs that these efforts are succeeding. Voting officials across the country report large numbers of new voters have been added to the rolls. In several states, that group could include former felons. Montana is one of the states that allows ex-convicts to register to vote after serving their time. And one group has made a particular effort to turn former felons into new voters ahead of yesterday's registration deadline. Kathy Witkowski reports from Montana.
The small, stuffy waiting room of the Kalispell Probation Office isn't the sort of place people like to hang out after their appointments. But today, Casey and Eddie Rudd are trying to get the probationers and parolees to stick around and fill out a little extra paperwork.
How you doing?
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, we're registering felons to vote. And we set a goal of 1,000. Would you be interested in helping us register that 1,000?
Sure.
All right. Come on back. I'll give you a voter registration card.
Eddie and his wife, Casey, are both convicted felons. They run an organization that helps ex-prisoners reenter society.
Did you know you had the right to vote?
No.
You didn't? Did someone tell you that you didn't have the right, or did you just think that you did?
I thought they told us that.
Unfortunately, that's a pretty typical response, says Casey Rudd. Until recently, even she didn't realize that Montana is one of 13 states where convicted felons can vote after they've served their prison or jail sentences. Now she's spreading the word as part of this voter registration drive, and she's been pleasantly surprised by the response.
I kind of thought, well, maybe they might not want to be bothered with the system. They've been affected by the system enough, you know, and maybe didn't want anything to do with it. But I'm not finding that to be true at all. People have been wanting to register.
Take Brad Thompson, clean cut and earnest. He's also a compulsive gambler who served 6 months in jail after forging checks to finance his habit. He was stunned to discover that he hadn't lost his right to vote.
It means more than I can say to know that I still have a voice. You know, I don't believe in taxation without representation. And so now I know that that's not the case. I'm pretty happy.
But laws vary from state to state, so he wouldn't be able to vote everywhere. Most states deny voting rights to felons still on parole or probation. 14 states go even further, prohibiting some or all ex-felons from voting even after they've successfully completed their entire sentences. As a result, it's estimated that 5 million convicted felons won't be eligible to vote in the upcoming November election. That number troubles people like Chris Eugen, a sociologist at the University of Minnesota.
It raises fundamental questions about, I think, about democracy and about punishment. And really, is there a right to vote? Is voting fundamental? Or is it a privilege that the state can attach to criminal sanctions and remove?
The stakes are high. According to Eugen's research, for instance, if ex-felons were allowed to vote in Florida, Al Gore would have won that state and the 2000 presidential election. Since then, a bipartisan commission has recommended that states restore voting rights to ex-felons who have served their full sentences. But Roger Clegg says that would be a mistake. He's general counsel of the Center for Equal Opportunity, a conservative think tank, and believes that convicted felons should be permanently stripped of their voting rights and should only be able to have them reinstated on a case-by-case basis.
There are certain minimum standards of loyalty and trustworthiness that we require of people before we allow them the privilege of voting. And somebody who has committed a serious crime does not meet that minimal level of loyalty and trustworthiness.
But it's too simplistic, says sociologist Eugen, to try to divide society into criminals and non-criminals, because people's behavior changes over time.
So that somebody who was convicted of a crime at 20, by the age of 40, may be working productively and paying taxes and sending their kids to school, etc. As a society, we have to figure out some way that we can let criminals back into as participating stakeholders in society.
Conventional wisdom holds that the ex-felon vote would benefit Democrats, but that might not be as true here in the West. Bridget Sarabi is with the Western Prison Project, which has been registering ex-felons in Oregon. She says that while only a small percentage are registering as Republicans, it appears that nearly half are registering as independents.
I do think when it comes to the ex-felon population, there's a sense that, you know, the Democrats haven't particularly been our friends, the Republicans haven't been our friends. You know, tough on crime cuts across the board, and there's something wrong with this picture. I'm not going to declare a party. I'm going to wait and see.
And while most voters are heavily focused on the presidential race this November, Sarabi says the ex-felons she's heard from are more interested in local races and in the initiative ballot so prevalent in the West, because they feel that's where they're more likely to have a real impact. For Day to Day, I'm Kathy Witkowski.